Thanks for joining us at Reveal, a Jesus-centered community. To learn more about us and what's going on, check us out on the web at www.revealvineyard.com. We hope in the minutes to come, you're able to find God, find others, and find yourself. Thanks again for listening.
Welcome back. We're on week number four of Transformed. If you're new with us, we're on a 50-day journey of change, a 50-day journey of transformation. And we've been looking at seven key areas of life in which we are presenting ourselves before God to be changed in, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. Why is this key? We said that we have to present ourselves before God, which means we must live with intention. We must live with purpose, because if you just pick up your feet and go with the flow, we said the flow will lead you somewhere you do not want to be, because the flow don't know. It's because our natural drift is never toward God. Our natural drift is never towards righteousness. Our natural drift is always towards chaos, towards sin, toward disorder, and toward decay. But it's just not me. It's just not you. The entire universe lives under a law of decay. In other words, everything naturally drifts toward disorder. It's why nothing stays as fresh as the day that you bought it. If you don't work your yard, it will naturally drift towards chaos. You will have a weed jungle. If you don't work on your health, it will naturally drift toward decay faster than it should. If you don't work at your relationship, your natural drift will be towards selfishness, and the relationship will begin to break down. It's because everything has a natural drift towards chaos, toward decay, and toward disorder. And so our natural drift is never toward order, it's never toward God, it's never toward righteousness, which means we must expend effort and energy to create stability. That means it takes effort to create growth and structure and health. If the effort's not put in, pick up your feet and go with the flow, you will never, never create structure and health and stability. And when it comes to what we're talking about, spiritual transformation, it will never occur. We will never step into the life that God has for us. You see, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus was not just so you could have life later, eternal life later. It's not just so you can have transformation later after this life. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is for today. It's now. That life is supposed to start now. His resurrection, Scripture tells us, is our resurrection, that he's resurrecting what is dead in us. He is bringing order to disorder. He brings new life and a new future and a new hope, and it starts today. Because we all have gaps between who we want to be and who we actually are. What most of us do with those gaps is we try to cover them up, or we try to improve our image. So we plaster over the cracks, we fill in the gaps, we try to fix our exterior so we will feel better. We try to fix our exterior with a new coat of paint, something to make us feel better. Maybe we'll work a little harder to climb the corporate ladder, or we'll occupy our time with a new hobby, or we'll spend a little bit more money on a better vacation, or get a nicer car, or it's a new pill, or another pill, or it's a new relationship, or we'll compose the perfect Instagram picture to make it seem like we're living a life of bliss and contentment. Most of us will polish our exterior, but never deal with the problem within. Jesus steps into our story, not to give us another rag to just polish the exterior, not another trowel to plaster over the cracks. He's not an image consultant or a PR firm trying to sway public opinion of you. Jesus doesn't polish our exterior so we feel different. He transforms our interior so we are different. And that is why we're here today. Not to just polish the exterior, but to allow Jesus to step into our story and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us within, inside out. Not so we feel different, but so we actually are different. Now, understand this, that transformation is not for the weak of heart. Transformation is never easy, right? There's a process that we go through. You will be challenged and worked and reworked and pulled and molded and stretched, but it's a good stretch. Have you ever had a stretch that you're so good you almost blacked out? It's kind of like that. It's that kind of stretch, right? Now, when a car has frame damage after being in an accident, the body shop puts it on the rack. And the rack allows the frame to be yanked and pulled and stretched and straightened until it comes back to the way that it was originally created. And so this is kind of what transformation is like. We have been in a head-on collision with sin, and we've been damaged both by our own sin, but also the sin that others have committed against us. And so now all of us are bent and broken and dented and bruised, and once we make a decision to follow Jesus, the next step is Jesus says, let me put you on the rack. Because you're going to need to be pulled, and there's going to need to be some pressure, and you're going to need to be straightened because I'm trying to work something out in you. That means that old patterns of living are challenged. Old patterns of thinking will be challenged. Sin will be exposed and we will be drawn into righteousness. Sometimes it means we have to let go of something good to pick up something that is better. The process of change, the process of transformation, it will continue our whole lives until this life is over and we are brought back into our original design. No sin. No hang-ups, no problems, right? We will be restored to our original created intent. But in order to get there, you got to go on the rack. And so that's why you're here, to willingly place yourself on the rack, to be pulled and to be straightened. That means do not give up on your transformation. Keep worshiping with us on Sunday. Keep going to your weekday group. Keep watching the DVD material. Keep the conversations going in your group. Keep reading the daily devotional that we provided. Why? Because it takes effort to create stability. Your natural drift will never take you to where you want to go, ever. I mean, unless you want to go towards the direction of hell, then pick up your feet and go that way. If you want chaos in your life, that path is easy. Pick up your feet. The current will take you there to chaos and will take you there quickly. Without effort, we always drift towards chaos, instability, and decay. So what have we covered so far? We covered spiritual health and we covered physical health. And today we're going to look at mental health. Now, when you hear mental health, for today's purpose anyways, don't think about that crazy ex you dated in college. All right, they may have been crazy, but that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about what it means to have a healthy mind and healthy patterns of thinking. Now, the passage that has pushed us forward in this series has been Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, do not just live the way everyone else lives. Don't pick up your feet and go with the flow. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. If you want to change something in your life, do not start with your actions. It's not just greater resolve. Start with your thinking. Change your thinking and you will change your life. Renew the mind and you will renew your life. Look at this image that we'll put up on the screen. Here's what we all need to understand. That thoughts create feelings. And feelings create behavior. And behavior reinforces your thoughts. And your thoughts create feelings. And your feelings create behavior. You see the cycle? See, this is why it's key that we have our mind renewed. Because some of us go through life and we just think, well, I'm going to try harder. That's not the point. The point of Christian living is not for you to try harder. The point of Christian living is for you to submit your will to His will. Let Him put you on the rack and let Him begin to transform your mind, transform your thinking, because your thoughts create feelings. And what we need are different emotions, because our feelings create behavior and our behavior reinforces thoughts. So this is key. Listen, life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Life is always moving one direction or another, and it is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So ask yourself this: what direction is my life moving right now? What direction is my life moving right now? Most of life's battles are going to be won or lost in the mind. It's a battle between God's truth and the lies that Satan will propose to us. So what I want to do is I want to look at three choices, three daily choices to have a healthy mind, healthy thought patterns. First one is this: we must free our mind from destructive thoughts. We'll look at 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war according or as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, in other words, he's saying the weapons that we fight with have divine power. Transformation comes from a renewed mind, but we do not renew our minds ourselves. It is beyond our ability to create righteousness out of chaos, right? This is our dependence upon Jesus, our dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so our weapon, please hear me, our weapon is not greater resolve. Your weapon for a transformed mind is not, I will try harder next time. That's not your weapon. The weapon that you've been given has divine power. It's supernatural in nature. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us with divine power to do what we could not do on our own. The Greek word for power, it's translated dunamis. We get the word dynamite. It means that there is explosive power available to you. And so we should be asking then, all right, so if there's explosive power available to us, what is that divine power for? Look at the next passage. For we live, though we live in the world, we do not wage war. As the world does, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power for what? To demolish strongholds. Now, what is a stronghold? It's not a word that we use every day currently. A stronghold is a fortified prison. It's divine power to demolish the stronghold that holds us captive. The stronghold of thought that holds us in bondage. Listen, if you are a follower of Christ, your greatest transformation is going to occur when this begins to change. When our thoughts can be washed by God's truth. Why? Because your thoughts create feelings, and your feelings create behaviors, and your behavior reinforces your thoughts. And so this is key, that we have been given divine power to demolish strongholds, divine power to demolish whatever it is that holds us captive. Now, look at the rest of this. We demolish arguments. In other words, we demolish obstacles and every pretension or every claim or assertion that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Listen, you want one thing that will change your life from here moving forward. Begin to look at your thoughts, filter your thoughts through this lens. Am I making this thought captive to the obedience of Christ? What I'm thinking about at this moment, does it line up with what God says? Does it line up with who Jesus is? And if it doesn't, then that thought must be taken captive. In other words, what it's saying is you must take that thought a prisoner of war, is literally what it's saying. You must go to battle to take captive that thought through the power of the Holy Spirit. Meaning that whenever it comes to your thoughts, whenever it comes to our patterns of thinking, we demolish, we crush, we conquer, we destroy any thought, any obstacle, any claim that sets itself up against the truth of God. Every thought that is not in line with God's truth, we obliterate it. Why? Because we're freeing our mind from destructive thoughts. And we make it obedient to the truth, to the teachings, and to the character of Jesus Christ. That is a life-changing truth that if we can grasp and we can put into practice, it will begin the transformation process in us because our mind will be renewed. But understand this, no one can control your thoughts except you, except me. It's on me to do it. Now, I don't do it alone, right? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's on me to make the choice to invite the power of the Holy Spirit in to help me take every thought captive. Meaning, what's bouncing around in your head is not there and it's not outside of your ability to change that thinking. Look, if I ask you right now to think back to what you had for dinner last night, and then quickly I ask you to change to what your living room looks like, you can instantly change your thinking. We all have the ability. Sometimes that negative thinking, it feeds something so negative in us that we just want to dwell on it. And so we choose not to. Now look, it's not going to be easy. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But all of us have that ability to take thoughts captive. Filter every thought. Do not allow every thought that comes in your head to stay. You're always going to have something that pounds. Look, I know there's times when you'll be praying. You may be here in church. And you just have this odd thought that just zoom comes in. Not every thought that enters the mind should stay in the mind. Right? And so some of that, we just have to filter it out because it's not obedient to the teachings of Jesus. And we have to take it captive, a prisoner of war, so that we can filter out negative thoughts that are not healthy for us. So let's take a moment of prayer and reflection. And so the first thing that I want to ask you to do, and we're going to just have a moment of silence here in a little bit, I want you to identify the number one stronghold that's holding you back right now. When you identify the number one stronghold that is holding you back, why is this so important? Because thoughts create feelings, feelings create behavior, and behavior reinforces your thoughts. And so I want you to be honest. Don't play around with it. Don't be like, yeah, that's not that bad, right? We're inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. Our prayer should be, search me, God. And so what is the stronghold? What is the thought? What is the action? What is it that your thinking has created feelings, your feelings have created behavior, and you're caught in the cycle? I want you to identify it, and I want you to name it, right? And then we're going to have you share with everybody. No, we won't go that far. I want you to name it because you cannot fight what you cannot define. So let's just not talk in some nebulous, cloudy terms here. I want you to be direct with it. Look, if you want transformation, this is where it starts. What is your stronghold? Let's take a moment. Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Name. Help us put a name to what it is as we're honest with you and we're honest with ourselves. Holy Spirit, speak to us about what it is. Let's not choose a bunch. Let's just choose one. And I hope by now you have a name to it, that it's very clear what it is and what that looks like. And now we're going to go on to step two. Hold that, because we're going to attack it here in just a moment. All right, second, daily choice. We're going to get back to that stronghold in just a moment. Second daily choice for a healthy mind is we must feed our minds with truth. So we need to purge our minds of destructive thoughts, and we need to replace those thoughts with truth. We need to feed our minds with truth. So here's the second thing. Name the truth that demolishes your stronghold. So I want you to define what that stronghold is. You put a name on it. And now you're going to define, you're going to name the truth that comes against that stronghold. Now, this is where you're going to have some homework, all right? Because some of you are going to be like, I'm not sure what that truth is. So here's what it looks like. Some of you are going to take me up on this, and your life's about to change. Some of you are going to be like, what did he say? And you're going to be in the same situation 6 months from now. Here's my challenge to you. I hope you take me up on it. I want you to name the stronghold, and then I want you to name the truth that demolishes a stronghold. Here it is. Identify the lie, and then I want you to go to your friend Google, and I want you to Google in, what does the Bible have to say about blank? So if it's fear, what does the Bible have to say about fear? What does the Bible have to say about guilt? What does the Bible have to say about shame or insecurity or unforgiveness or lust? What does the Bible have to say? And then I want you to go through, find 3 to 5 scripture passages, and I want you to begin to memorize them. All right? I want you to begin to memorize whatever it is that is your number one stronghold. I want you to memorize whatever is going to attack that stronghold. Now, do not tell me that you can't memorize scripture, because you have every song on Spotify memorized already. So you can memorize scripture. We just don't put in the effort. I'm telling you from experience, it's one of the best things I ever started to do way back when I was 14 years old, because someone got with me and said, if you put God's word in your heart, it will change your thinking, and your thinking will change behavior, and you will reinforce your thinking by the godly behavior that you will step into. And this is something that is on all of us. I can't make you do this next part, but I hope you're going to take that step and that you would make this a normal part of your life. Why is it so important? Because life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thought. And if you want to change your life, change your mind. Look at, we have to feed our minds with truth. Jesus says in John 8:32 that you will know the truth, and what will happen? The truth will free you. Bust you out of that stronghold, out of that prison. We all know the importance of good nutrition for a healthy lifestyle. Whatever we sow, we grow. If you keep sowing Twinkie, 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 you're going to grow a Twinkie. That sounds totally wrong. Skip that. But you know what I'm saying, right? Whatever you sow, you're going to grow. Meaning we cannot sow into perversion. We cannot sow into lust and reap righteousness. It can't happen. We can't give ourselves to fear and sow security. It's impossible. Scripture says, do not be deceived. You will get what you sow into. Look at Galatians 6:7. It's in the New Living Translation. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live by only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life through the Spirit. Do you see it? Whatever I put in is what I'm going to get out. It's true in every area of life, including here. My patterns of thinking set the trajectory of my life, meaning that with some of the negative thinking that we give ourselves to, we are actually sabotaging the very life that we desire and the life that God wants to give us, because we're consumed with negative thoughts, strongholds, we're held in prison, and those thoughts create feelings, and the feelings create behavior, and behaviors reinforce our thoughts, and we're caught in a cycle. It's time to break the cycle. It's time to feed our minds with truth, and that means you must meditate on it and memorize it, turning it over and over in your head throughout the day. So look, if you're going to memorize scripture, you can go old school like I did, you know, a long time ago, and put them on index cards and keep them somewhere, or what I'm in the process of transferring is there are note card apps that you can put all of your memory scriptures on your phone, and you can review them as you go along, and that way it's in the cloud and you never lose them. You're going to need to find 3 to 5 scriptures that addresses what your stronghold is and begin to chew on it, begin to meditate on it, begin to think about it throughout the day. And when the negative thought comes in, you replace it with one of your scripture memorization verses. And if you do it, you're going to come to me in 6 months and say, this has transformed my life. I'm promising you that, because it's not me who's promising you. It's God who's promising you. He would say, if you get my word into you, it will accomplish something in you. It always does. And so we must feed our minds with truth. One of my early memory verses, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law, meaning this truth of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. In other words, feed your mind with truth. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Hey, you want to know how to minimize destructive behavior in life? This is it. Meditating on God's word, because God's word will guide us into truth. So, look at, here's another early memory passage of mine. Psalms 1:1-3. How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We could say his delight, her delight, is in the truth of God. And in this truth, he or she meditates day and night. And what is the result? They would be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he or she does will prosper. This is what we all want out of life. But it doesn't happen if we just pick up our feet and go with the flow. And so ask yourself, am I regularly feeding my mind with truth? Because our minds need to be liberated. The Holy Spirit needs to step in and pluck out those lies that were planted 10, 15, 25, 30 years ago and replace it with his truth. Now, it's never going to be easy. You're always going to have opposition because we have three enemies of the mind. The first one is my flesh is an enemy to my own thinking. Romans 7, Paul talks about this. He says, when he talks about his old life and his old nature, he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. We can all relate with that. He said, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner, stronghold, of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Now, Paul is using some language of war here. Do you ever find yourself doing the very thing that you hate? We all would say yes to that, right? Have you ever knowingly engaged in self-defeating and self-sabotaging behavior? We all would say yes to that, that we have the best intentions, but our new nature is always confronted with our old nature. And our old nature will not die easily. And so it keeps trying to resurrect itself and have influence over our future. My flesh, my old nature, isn't about to give up without a fight, and neither will yours. And so there is this constant battle for our thoughts. I love what Romans 8:5 says. It says, for those who are according to the flesh, what do? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, implied here, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Notice the importance of our thinking and patterns of thinking and where we allow our mind to drift. So our first enemy is my flesh. Second enemy, of course, is Satan. Scripture is clear that we have a spiritual adversary who wants to send these thoughts into our mind. Now, he cannot control our thinking, but will provide flaming darts, thoughts that come out of nowhere, trying to get us to fixate on them. And so this is the power of the Holy Spirit in us to dismiss those thoughts. Why? 1 John 4:4, the greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And so our thoughts cannot be controlled, but he will make suggestions, and suggestions can be very powerful. What does all this mean? It means don't believe everything you think. Because you will lie to yourself, and Satan will lie to you. Do not believe everything that is bouncing around in the cranium, because much of it is lies. And you've heard me say, a lie believed as truth holds the same authority as truth. So expect a battle of the mind. It's going to happen. Someone said, if you get out of bed and you don't run face first into Satan, it's probably because you're both going the same direction. And so expect a battle. Like if you're like, well, I never struggle with my thoughts, you may not be going the right direction, right? There will be a struggle because the old nature does not give up easy. Here's our third enemy to our thoughts. It's just the world's value system. The world is not helping you capture your thoughts. The world's value system is not pushing us toward Jesus. It's the opposite. Look at 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. Everything in culture, commercials, media, they're not causing us to go towards righteousness. They're pulling us away from it. And so that's why it's important what we allow in our mind. Some of the things that we watch and you think it has no effect on you, I guarantee you it has an effect on all of us. Men, there are some things that we just don't need to give ourselves to because it gets trapped in here. Ladies, I don't know what you guys think about, right? Statistics show you have the same problem, though, and it's increasing. And so we have to be aware of what we listen to, what we watch, what we give ourselves to, because what we give ourselves to, our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thought. All right, so those three enemies. What's the third daily choice for a healthy mind? We must feed our minds with truth, or we must free our minds from destructive thoughts, or we must feed our minds with truth, and then we must focus the mind on the right things. Here's a scripture passage that everyone should have memorized, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you want a filter to run your thought life through, here it is. Now, why would we want to give ourselves to the antithesis of this, right? Why would we want to give ourselves to the opposite of what Scripture tells us? Why would we want to give ourselves to whatever is false and whatever is dishonorable and whatever is wrong and whatever is perverted, whatever is ugly? Those are often some of the things that arrest our thinking, and we wonder why we can't break free from the stronghold, the prison that we're in. It's because we're doing the opposite of what Scripture tells us to do. But I'm telling you, if you invite the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, and if you position yourselves, start memorizing some scripture passage and begin to attack that stronghold will fall. And there are people around you who can say, I know it because I've been held in bondage to it, and when I addressed it and when I attacked it with the power of the Holy Spirit, it broke. But if you don't, you will be in that stronghold to the day you die. I'm not trying to be negative to you, but you already know it's true.
Come on, give it to him.
You know it's true because you're trapped in it already. I know it's true. I know that if I don't get serious about the strongholds, that stronghold will dominate me and it will dominate you. But it does not have to. But it will take effort to create health and to create growth and to position ourselves before the Holy Spirit of God. So we must focus on the right things. So what does that mean? What do we focus on? Well, Philippians 4:8 is a great filter. But here's some thoughts. Keep our minds on the teachings and the character of Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, another one of my scripture passages, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Listen, you know, those old bracelets, WWJD, don't bring those back. But there's some powerful truth behind it. Right? WWJD in this instant is saying, are you taking your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? Are you making them prisoners? Are you making any negative thought a prisoner to the teachings and the truth of Jesus? And so fix your eyes on Jesus, the teachings, the life of Jesus. Here's another one. Think about the needs of others. Hey, if you want to fix your mind on something that's good, start thinking about the needs of others. Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as what? As more important than yourself. Do you know how countercultural that is right there? And much of the kingdom is an upside-down kingdom, right? It says if you want to live, you must die. If you want more, give more away, right? Here it is saying if you want to be great, become a servant. And so Scripture again is telling us, look, just don't look out for your own needs, but look out for the needs of others and consider other people as more important than yourself. Don't look out only for what's good for you, but for the interests of others. Everything the world will teach us will tell us to focus on number one. But we have to combat that. If you want to win the battle of the mind, we have to begin to think about others. Here's my last thought. What does it mean to think about the right things? Is think about eternity. Now, I don't mean think about streets of gold and little baby fat chubby angels, right? That's not what I mean. I mean to set your mind on the future. Set your mind on the things above, right? The problem with today is that we have such short-term thinking that we can't extend our thinking beyond the moment. But life is a vapor. It's here a while, and then it vanishes. What does it mean? Look at Colossians 3:2. It says, set your mind. Here it is again. Change your thinking. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of this earth. Look forward. Look higher. Look up. Listen. It's time to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the life and the teachings and the character of Jesus Christ. You will see a transformation. It will happen. Let me wrap it up with 2 Corinthians 10 again. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds, and we demolish arguments, obstacles, right? We demolish every pretension, every claim, every assertion that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to do what? To make it obedient to Christ. Here's your three takeaways. Go to that next slide, please. Your three takeaways. Life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Identify the number one stronghold that's holding you back, and then name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. Why is it important? Because thoughts create feelings, and feelings create behavior, and behaviors reinforce our thinking. We are so close. If we will be doers of the word, James 1:22, you will begin to see the transformation in your thinking. But if you're going to walk out of here and do nothing, in essence what you're saying, I'm going to pick up my feet and go with the flow. And the flow don't know, and the flow is going to lead you to where you do not want to be. Now stand with me. All right, Reveal, it's time to continue this week. You're going to be doing a 7-day study on our mental health and mental transformation. Continue with your devotional studies in your book. Continue with your group discussions. Continue with the DVD material. Continue to wrestle with the questions at the end of your devotional. And in doing so, we are living intentionally. We are presenting ourselves before God. We're saying yes to His will and no to our own. Pray with me. Lord, there's such powerful truth in Scripture about the mind and our thoughts, and such encouragement that we do not wrestle with this alone, but we are given divine power. Holy Spirit in us, stir it in us. Give us divine power, explosive power, to begin to take down strongholds. I pray for our entire church and those who will listen to this online that we would name the stronghold that is keeping us from stepping forward, keeping us from what you have for us, and that we would put in the work to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. And that every person would find some scripture and begin to memorize, meditate on scripture, that it would literally begin to wash our minds with truth. And that is my prayer for us. Wash our minds with truth. Wash our minds with truth. Empower us to begin to do battle against every negative thought, every lie that has come against us, every lie that says we're not good enough or smart enough, that we'll never be loved in the way that we want to be, the lie that says we're not intelligent enough, the lie that says that you're going to be just like your mother or your father, who is just like their parents and just like their parents, the lies that say we will never beat this addiction. Lord, give us the truth that will break the stronghold. And then we commit to meditating on your truth, ruminating on it, chewing on it, and allowing it to kind of wash over our thoughts, wash over our mind. Holy Spirit, come. Just stay in an attitude of prayer. Listen, some of you, this is so critical for you right now, because I just got a sense that there might be some who you're just kind of on the edge of just giving up. And I want to encourage you, because I more than that, I want you to hear the voice of God encouraging you that do not give in and do not give up. And that now is the time to present yourself and allow your mind, allow your thoughts to wash, be washed by the power of God's truth. And I pray that for whoever is in that situation, that we would actually feel hopeful that change is on the horizon. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, our powerful Savior. Amen. Amen. All right, Reveal. God bless you guys. Look forward to seeing you next week. Be well. We'll continue this journey together. God bless. If you need prayer, come on up front and I can have someone pray for you.